It's Tuesday. Welcome to Tokas Shorts, a new show that still likes the Gaben. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty.
And, yes, team's in trouble again. Do you guys know there's a $900 million lawsuit against Valve right now? That's right. It's like, what the heck? Yeah, there's a $900 million lawsuit right now with Valve in the UK. So what happened is UK tribunals ruled that a massive lawsuit for Valve that started in 2024 can proceed after the company lost its appeal to block it. So here's kind of what's going on. The collective action, so basically this is the UK's version of a class action lawsuit, seeks roughly $900 million in damages on, so £930 million. Euros, maybe? I don't know. In damages on behalf of estimates of 14 million UK consumers. So they're saying that the there's a forced price parity preventing developers from selling games cheaper on other platforms. And the charge of the 30% commission is excessive. What's that?
But the 30% commission is the industry standard.
It is. Valve appealed this and failed. So they were saying that it's too difficult to identify all the claimants there because there's 14 million of them, right?
Right. So this is basically a class action lawsuit, and it's taking everybody that is using that has used Valve or Steam
as a selling platform.
Is it all of the consumers or all of the sellers?
It's the consumers, and what they're also saying is that there is some locked additional DLC to the Steam platform, which I'm not entirely sure about that.
So there's stuff that's locked. All right, so explore that a little bit. So what is locked? Cuz what I had I'd heard a little bit about this throughout the week, and one of the things that that kept coming up was that you couldn't buy DLC on Steam for games that were on like Epic, and I'm not sure if that's part of this whole thing.
Yeah, it is. It's because it's you can't use it between platforms.
Right. That's what.
But I don't know that that's different anywhere.
And that is the argument, right? I mean, if you go to say, I'm going to pick on Ubisoft because it's an easy target these days. If you go to Ubisoft's store. U+ or whatever, and you buy the Division 2 and the DLCs for it, on U+. You have to log into U+ from other, from other storefronts just to be able to, be able to validate so I guess this is a bad example, but.
No, it's valid.
So no, I'm saying something that doesn't really require requires something like that. So I don't know.
For example, a great example of this is actually The Sims 4.
Ah, yes.
There are content packs that, for example. EA chooses to not list on Steam.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They often will run sales on those content packs that you can't purchase through Steam. But also, if you purchase it through the EA app, you can't actually install it on the Steam version of the game. You have to have purchased the game through the EA app.
The other one that I was
to install that content.
The other one I saw was oddly enough, Binding of Isaac. If you buy Binding of Isaac on Epic Games Store, and you also buy Binding of Isaac on Steam, you have all of the DLCs on Epic Games Store. You will not have all the DLCs on Steam. You have to buy them again on Steam. It's a similar thing, and they're.
I didn't know that.
You have to, you know, it's the DLCs are locked to the storefront that you purchased them on. And that makes sense, right? Because you're not going to have Epic Games talk to Steam and be like, yeah, they bought this thing. It's, you know, it's fine. They've already got a license.
So now that I'm kind of hearing both you all's opinions, this really is kind of common practice across all platforms.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
It is. What's not common across all platforms specifically is the price parity obligation. That is the one thing in Steam's contract, standard contract for developers and publishers, that's not necessarily the same across all platforms. And that is basically Steam saying that, you cannot, if you're going to sell your game on our platform, then you can't list that game on another storefront for less than what you've listed it for on Steam.
Interesting.
Right. And that just makes it so that Steam is the storefront that most people go to that drives eyeballs to the, you know, the platform, yada, yada, yada. Right. So, and I don't know, I haven't read the legalese behind it, but that price parity is the main thing. But all of these other things that keep getting tacked onto it is basically nothing burgers, because 30% cut for the storefront is, I mean, there's smaller cuts on other storefronts, but that's been the, you know, the 30%'s been basically the standard for, you know, for digital storefronts for a while. I mean,
I'm always that pretty much was the standard until Tim Sweeney came in with Epic and said, we're going to take a smaller cut.
Like, the bigger picture thing here, I think, is that a lot of people always hit on Steam for being the bigger company, right? And the reason we use Steam is the features are better on Steam for the storefront and for your game organization and for sorting and looking at your games and for cross-platform support and their internal chats and all that stuff's better, right? Like, the GOG platform sucks and the Epic platform sucks, right? And I think if they put more time and effort into having better platforms, people would use it versus let's just sue the ever-living hell out of Steam, right? Trying to, like, because there's even a story, and I'm not going to even go into it, or Tim Sweeney, of course, is like, yeah, this is justified. Of course, he's a little guy. I mean, not really, but compared to Steam, his platform is smaller. It's basically been funded by Fortnite for the last several years. So, like, it's just, all of it just kind of ties down to, like, lazy effort from other storefronts to get back in that space. Like, if GOG put the time and effort into their platform to making that, I don't even remember what the client's called because I never use it at this point. I just didn't, for anything I've got on GOG, I install locally and avoid the client altogether because it's a pain in the ass, right? And Epic GOG
Galaxy, it's gotten better.
Yeah, but it's still not even close to Steam on terms of anything.
Oh, no.
It's kind of confusing. And then Epic looks like MySpace Marketplace or something, like it's, or Facebook Marketplace or something. Like, it's such a generic storefront and generic features for your games. Everything about it's super generic. Like, put some time and effort into your stuff instead of just dogpiling on this bullshit lawsuit stuff. Sorry. Like, it's a minor rant for me because it just always irritates the heck out of me. Like, I do like the features of Steam. That's why I use it.
I'll be totally honest with you. The reason why I enjoy Steam is because, well, most of the, you know, I would say 95% of all the games that I purchased have been on Steam. And it is there because A, they've had freaking, what, 20 years to perfect it.
Yeah.
And B, it's just convenient because that's where all my games are. So
yeah.
That is to say, look, it's not perfect. And there should be, you know, there shouldn't be, stuff that is, you know, that Steam is doing that can be considered predatory for small to medium, size, you know, development studios. And that shit does happen. There's some sketchy shit that, you know, that has, you know, happened in the past on Steam. They've done things to change it. But, you know, a company that big with this many games, you know, that, you know, get thrown into it, fucking shovelware, like literally every day. There's going to be problems, but do I think that there needs to be a fucking $900 million lawsuit against Steam for, you know, for something that has been, basically normality for, for the online, storefront platforms. I mean, it's not only Steam that does this. So
I feel like they've been the industry leader and innovator on all things digital storefront for 20 years, right?
At least for gaming anyway. So the reality is, you're not going to really do much with the 30%, and that's on the developer side. That's not even part of the class action lawsuit. I don't understand why people are bringing it up. The price parity thing, yeah, that's kind of a pain in, that is a pain point. That'll probably be addressed, but it's not going to be addressed, to the claimants, basically. Like, what are they going to do for, all of those people? Give them a dollar
to
credit on their Steam account.
And I think the thing to remember too is this is just the preliminary step, right? Like the actual trial and legal and all that stuff is probably going to drag on for years after this. This is just, all right, now this is a thing. And we had something similar happen in 2021 and it got dismissed.
Well, it's been a thing. They just said that it can continue to go forward. Since this has become a thing in the UK, there has been changes to Steam's policies and how things are handled. And like I said, it's not perfect. There's still things that they can do. Ultimately, I think that this is just a big number to throw out there to get people's eyeballs on it. And it's going to turn into a big nothing burger.
Yep. Yes.
Because it'll all be, it'll all be brought up in court and Steam's going to go, yeah, we acknowledge that this, this was a practice back in the early 2020s, but, we've made these changes since then that, comply with these policies. We've worked with these developers. We've done this, and this. So all of your points are invalid. Please come up with something new to bitch about. Thank you. Bye.
And it's not necessarily anti-consumer for Steam to ask that publishers and developers not offer their games for lower prices on other platforms than what they offer it for on Steam. That's just, you need, if you're going to say offer the game for a 15% discount on GOG, you have to do the same for our customer base. And that's not necessarily anti-consumer. Does that mean games go on sale less than they probably could, across all the different platforms? Sure. But that's ultimately, I think, less anti-consumer than a lot of the other stuff that we've seen go on the last couple decades, like with, Apple's App Store, the Google Play Store, etc.
Well,
yeah, it's if the if this was actually, you know, preventing, you know, a, I think this hits the smaller developers the most. You don't see this in on big studios, right? And I'm going to pick on Binding of Isaac just because, I mean, it's been successful, right? But it's
very successful.
It's a thing where you could buy that on pretty much any storefront right now. It's been out for years. And it, I don't know if it's actually part of this, you know, part of this thing right now, but, or if it is grandfathered in by some, you know, by some things, but it has had sales on other storefronts other than Steam. I guess I'm just trying to figure out where the argument is. There's got to be an example there. That's, you know, that basically is the powder keg moment, right? And I don't know what the powder keg is. And that's
just not been made public.
Right. And that right there bothers me, because there's got to be something that started this whole process. And that information isn't known to me at the moment. It's probably out there somewhere, but I don't know what it is. And that gives a much needed context here, because we're kind of grasping at straws as to figuring out why, why this, this becomes a thing. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, as a consumer of video games, there's only a few things that I care about. Convenience is a big thing. And, the availability of a game, and its price. And, right now, Steam has done a pretty good job of making all three of those things a priority in their storefront. So, I don't imagine that anything is going to happen, huge from this, from this class action or collective action lawsuit or whatever the UK wants to call it. But it is going to be one of those generates talk, gets people, like us talking about it, gets the internet talking about it. Of course, there's going to be an incredulous amount of money, incredulous reaction to the number. Like, they could have just come out with $14 trillion and it would have been just as, just as stupid. Right. So it's a thing. Like, unless there's a major change to how games are, games is consumed on the internet, and the availability of games is radically changed, I don't see anything changing here. This class action side, you think anything?
Well, what do you guys think? If you got any different opinions, of course, leave a comment on the episode. It's over there at YouTube's. Look for Tiltcast Shorts with a Z, right?
Yeah. Also, find us on tiltcast.com, where you'll find both the audio versions of these new shorts as well as our full-length podcast. Search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe and come back on Thursday for more news.
All right. Peace.